They are difficult. Matter of fact, this is actually the first message in the series, and not only are we going to be discussing these things on Sunday morning, but throughout the week, we're going to continue the conversations in our community groups. If you've not had a chance to sign up for our community group, there's a card that looks just like this in the seat back in front of you. Maybe today is a great day, if you have not signed up, that you can sign up today. You can hand that to an usher before you leave today. Now, we're going to talk about something that is so pervasive, and it probably affects almost every family in our nation. And it is so difficult because oftentimes we don't talk about this at the dinner table. We don't talk about it at Thanksgiving. A matter of fact, for many people, this conversation is so old, many people have just resulted to the thought that it's just the way it's going to be. We are talking about addictions. And I know that you probably have a lot of different ideas, a lot of different thoughts about when we use the word addiction. Some of you in this room may actually be addicted to something we talk about today. For some of you, you live in a home with someone who has or had an addiction. And for others of you, it might be a friend or a family member that deals with it. And I want you to know that today we're not just talking to the person who is addicted, but we're talking to the family, to the brother, the sister, the spouse, the people who are living life with the person who is addicted. And to be honest, there's something in this for everybody today. And so we're going to begin today with one verse in John chapter 8. One of the reasons why we are talking about this is because we know that we need hope and we know that freedom is possible. We're going to begin in John chapter 8 and verse 36. The Bible says, this is actually the words of Jesus. He says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That gives us hope today that believes that no matter what kind of addiction, no matter what kind of bondage that we're in, it is possible for you to walk in complete freedom today. Can somebody say amen to that? As we discuss this, I know it's going to be difficult. It's kind of like today is a day when the Holy Spirit is going to get all deep in your Kool-Aid today. He's going to stir the pot. That's right, Kool-Aid. That's an African-American euphemism where we say that somebody's going to be in your business today, if you did not know that terminology. And we're going to pray this morning as we get started to prepare our hearts. And you may not be ready for what we're going to talk about, but the Spirit of God is ready. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just give this moment up to you. We ask, God, that you would begin the process of searching our hearts. Spirit of God, we pray that you would draw us into the light, out of the darkness today. And that, Lord, we pray that freedom not only is possible, is completely probable through the shed blood of Jesus. And we pray, God, not only will freedom come, but God, conversations will come, difficult conversations. And we pray that through it, families may be healed, relationships may be healed, and that you would get the glory from it. And let everybody say amen. Amen. Now, just to make sure we're on the same page, the American Psychiatric Association, they have a definition for an addiction. They say that it is a complex condition that is manifested by a continued compulsion for something despite harmful consequences. That's our key today, that these addictions, the consequences for them are harmful. So I'm going to talk about a lot of different types of addiction today. Now, you might say that coffee's not a big deal, but take coffee away from somebody, and you may see some harmful consequences. Now, an addiction can be a very ugly and nasty monster. Somebody say amen. It has the potential and the capacity to destroy homes, marriages, relationships, and even the life of the addict. Addictions are so dangerous and destructive that oftentimes those who are addicted, they don't even refer to themselves as being an addict. We're going to find out today that an addiction can be so nasty, it can be so huge that we don't even give it a name. Matter of fact, people that are addicted to certain things, they won't even refer to themselves as addicted to it. They say, I got a struggle. Anybody ever heard say that? I have a struggle. That's the church word for say, I'm completely addicted and I can't help myself. We're going to have to be real today. We're going to use some terms. We're going to use some language today that speaks the truth today. Are you okay with the truth? Maybe you can't handle the truth. Well, today, ready or not, the truth is coming. The truth is coming. See, an addiction actually means you have a lack of control. Part of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. But in an addiction, we have a complete lack of control. It means that there's negative consequences. Basically, it means you can't stop it, which is really an elusive way of saying it, because even the person that is addicted might think that because we're talking about addiction, it means an everyday problem. An addiction doesn't have to be an everyday problem. All it really means is that you can't stop. So whether it's a one day or everyday problem or every 3 month problem, it continues to come like a cycle. And if you can't say no when it calls your name, you're probably addicted. Now, what are we talking about? What types of addictions? Well, usually when people hear the term addiction, what do you guys think about first? What's the first word you think about? Drugs. That's right. That's the first thing that most people think about. Now, we're not just talking about illegal drugs. We're not just talking about crack cocaine, but also legal drugs. Did you know you can be addicted to something that a doctor prescribes you? Painkillers, things like that. It can start off as a good thing, and then it turns into a very bad thing. And also, just because we're saying this, just because we're having the conversation, I want you to be aware that taking someone else's prescription medication is against the law. No matter how much their symptoms are just like yours. It can cause harmful consequences. And when we say harmful, some of the things that we talk about might get DCS to come in your door. It's harmful because you could lose your kids. It's harmful because you could go to jail. It's harmful because you could lose your spouse if these things don't get addressed. Also, alcohol. Is it wrong to have a drink of wine? No. Everybody say no. But it is completely possible for you to drink too much and too often. And it becomes so much of a problem, everybody in your life will tell you, you have a problem. Now, what does the average alcoholic say? I don't have a problem. We're going to talk about how do you find out if you got a problem. We'll go through that in just a moment. Also, this is a big category, but lust is a major addiction in this community. When I say lust, we're talking about sex, pornography, strip clubs, Tinder sites. Anybody heard of Tinder? No. We hadn't heard of Tinder, have we? Oh, never. That's that kind of site. You know, the origins of Tinder is so people could hook up. These are sites that are designed that your lustful fantasies can all come true. You know, we live in a community not too far from here, Fort Campbell, where there are soldiers that will take terabytes of pornography with them when they go across the pond. And one of the other things that's prevalent in this community is to not think that pornography is a problem. But I tell you what, ask your spouse if it's a problem. Ask somebody you're in a relationship if it's a problem. And what might have been okay in the beginning soon becomes the other person in the relationship, and it is not okay. Now, here's one that we don't think of when we think of addictions. What about gaming? Gaming, video gaming. There's a lot of men who used to go to the bar after work. Now they go to the man cave so they can unwind for a few hours. Did you also know it's not just an adult problem anymore? Back in the day, we had Nintendo 64, right? We was rocking that thing, and now it's so big that did you know almost 10% of kids between 8 and 18 are addicted to video games. Take a video game away from one of these kids these days. You will see them on the front row saying, no! So not just gaming, but gambling. Now, we live in the great state of Tennessee. I love this state, my favorite state in the entire country. But we just passed a law that will allow online sports betting. And I can tell you what, it's only a matter of time before the number of gambling addicts go through the roof. Did you know that right across the state line in good old Oak Grove, we're about to get this massive, anybody heard this massive horse racing facility? Anybody ever heard of that? It's coming. And they're going to have not just horse racing, but about 1,000 gambling machines. 1,000. Now, you cannot tell me that some people, even in the good old church, are going to fall victim to this addiction. Did you know that pornography affects at least 70% of men in church? You're like, wow, Pastor, we didn't know. Well, I can tell you what, it is here. And it is a problem, and it is destroying marriages, it is destroying relationships, and if you didn't know, it's being passed down to the next generation. Yeah. I would like to say we live in probably the most sex-crazed generation ever, but to be honest, it's probably just as sex-crazed as it's ever been. The only difference is we have greater access, greater levels of secrecy, and it is everywhere. Can somebody say amen? But it can be an addiction that you break free from. Can somebody say amen? What about money? What about power? These are all addictions. What about anger? I know some people with anger issues. And don't forget smoking. Smoking, nicotine. Somebody try to stop smoking and see how long it takes before you get a headache, before you get angry. That's called detoxification, right? If you detox from it, it is a problem. It means you are addicted to it. What about social media? What about our cell phones? Everybody raise your cell phone up in the air real quick and wave it in the air like you just don't care. That's a good thing. You know what? We look at our cell phones over 100 times a day. And it is so easy to get on social media and see what other people think about what we think. What about shopping, retail therapy? Can be an addiction. All of these things and many, many more hold on to us. You know, the Bible uses the word iniquity. It's a bondage, what an addiction is. It's like a sin that is so wrapped around you that you cannot get free from. And some of these look like very pleasant things. We don't even like to talk about this one in the church, but gluttony. Eating too much, or not eating enough, or starving ourselves, or throwing up. All of these things are part of an addiction. Now, to be honest with you, some of these addictions have more immediate negative consequences than others. I want to show you a picture. You put the picture of the penny on there for me. I want you to look really carefully at this. Everybody knows what a penny looks like, the size of a penny. Those little granules beside that penny, that's not sea salt. That's fentanyl. Anybody ever fentanyl? It's a synthetic opioid. And that amount of fentanyl is deadly to the average person. Touching it, tasting it, getting around it too close can kill you. Now, not everything that we're talking about today is that immediately negative, but I can tell you this, they are all just as destructive. Can somebody say amen? So let's get down to it. How do you know if you have an addiction? I'm going to give you three simple ways. First, ask somebody close in your life. They will tell you if you have an addiction. Let a husband ask his wife, "You think I got a problem with that baby?" Oh, yes. They will tell you the truth. How else do you know you have an addiction? Let somebody take it away from you and see how you respond. You might detox all over somebody's face if they take it away from you. Another surefire way is to simply ask the Holy Spirit within your own soul, "Lord, do I have a problem with it?" I can tell you what, if you have to contemplate asking God, you probably have a problem with it. But today is a day of freedom. Everybody say freedom. Freedom. Today is a day when the truth comes out, when there will be no more secrets. And that is the problem with addiction for most. For many of us, we have a double life. We have the life that everybody knows about, and then we have a life that nobody else knows about it. Things that we hold in secret. We have secret accounts, secret social media pages. We have access to things that some people don't even know are in your life. And because of that, the addict or the person who is addicted, they can be so subtle. And the idea of an addiction can creep up on you and you don't even realize you're addicted until you try to stop. When you get in your mind, I've gone too far and you want to stop the behavior, but it's got a hand on you. You don't know how to get out of it. And really, addiction is like bondage. It's like shackles. It's like chains on you. And the sad thing about it is it doesn't matter if you're a born-again Christian or not, you can have an addiction. See, shame is one of the big factors towards getting free. So many people can have so much shame to think, I should not be dealing with this because I'm a Christian. Therefore, I can't talk about it. Because I'm a Christian, I need to just try to hide it and kind of bare knuckle it and think it's just going to go away. A lot of men think, well, my pornography problem will go away when I just get married. Then I can have all that I want. And every man said, no. And for some of you guys, you've probably never been in prison before. But in prison, if you've been in prison for a long time, you start to think in some very peculiar ways. You start to think in ways that don't make a lot of sense. But when you get free, you may be free and there's no more shackles, no more chains, but you don't know how to act out being free. You still act as if you're in prison. And in prison, you may have some very dysfunctional thoughts. This is just like an addiction when you give your life to Christ. You may have given your life to Christ and Jesus will set you free. Somebody say amen. And you had some dysfunctional thoughts before Jesus. Well, I can tell you what, you still have some dysfunctional thoughts after Jesus. Yeah. And now you may be set free, but you don't know how to walk free. And you need to be around some people that can help you walk free and think free. But what happens is we get so much shame and guilt in our life, and we keep it on the down low, and we keep it in secret, and we don't talk to anybody about it. But I can tell you today, God wants you to walk in the light. Let's look at 1 John. We're going to look in the Bible. 1 John chapter 1. This is going to be key towards getting free. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is in the light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. When the Bible refers to darkness, it's also meaning hiding things, keeping secrets. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we have lied to ourselves and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I wanted to tell you guys that for over 20 years, I had an addiction. And one of the things that continued the addiction was the shame and guilt of the addiction. It kept things in the dark. The shame kept me from bringing it out into the light. But I want to tell you today, until you bring it out fully into the light, there is no help. There is no help until it's brought fully into the light. What a lot of people will do is they'll give drips and drabs of the truth. They'll say, I've got a small problem, but it's not that bad. But I can tell you, addicts or people with an addiction, they are master manipulators, especially of themselves. And not only does the behavior come along with a person with an addiction, but he brings on a whole lot of other friends with him. He brings lying, manipulating. He brings controlling. He brings anger along with him. And because of all these things, it makes it so difficult to actually have a conversation about this. And it's not just the one who is addicted. Think about the one that's in the house with the person who is addicted. Now, this is one of the most unfair things about an addiction. Not only does it ruin the one person's life, but it ruins those that are around them. It ruins those that are around them. There are issues that if you have an addict or a person with an addiction in your home or in your family, you are forced to deal with things you never thought you had to deal with. You have to deal with issues of codependency, your own shame. Now, this is sad, but a person who is some sort of addict or has an addiction, they have a healthy level of shame. They don't want people to know about it. They don't want people to know how deep it is. But do you know if you're married to a person with an addiction, you have your own shame. That's because you don't want everybody else to know about it. You don't want to think that people look bad on your family. You don't want people in the church to know about it because now this is your reality. What was their problem is now your problem. And with that shame could come anger. Everybody say anger. You can have a healthy dose of anger that didn't originate from you, but it originated from somebody else because that person just can't get free. They just can't stop, and you don't understand it, and so the anger continues to rise up. Also, unforgiveness and bitterness. Now, you can have your own issue with God because of their problem. Your unforgiveness, your bitterness because they can't stop or they don't get set free is now create distance from you and God. And it creates a whole lot of anger and frustration. Somebody say amen. But here's the thing. Some people will ask the question to the person who's addicted. Why don't you just stop? Why can't you just stop doing it? You know what? There's two things I want you to get out of this message. One is compassion, and the other is conviction. See, with a person who is addicted, I am not excusing the behavior. The behavior is wrong. But there has to be a level of compassion. If they could just stop, they would. The fact that it's causing damage to not only themselves, but to everything around them means they don't have the power to stop. The biggest problem with a person who wants to stop is they don't know how. They don't have the power, they don't have the strength, and they don't know how to get set free. And I want to read a passage of scripture in the Bible that goes right along with that in Romans chapter 7. If you can open up your Bible, Romans chapter 7, we're going to read verse 15 through 20. This is the Apostle Paul. I want you to think about this. This is a man of God. We call an apostle, wrote this by through the Holy Spirit in Romans. And it is for us today to help us to understand the heart of someone who just can't stop. In verse 15, it says, I do not understand what I do. You ever ask yourself a question, why am I doing what I'm doing? For what I do or for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do not, what I do not want to do, I agree with the law is good. And as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Think about how that would torment anyone. To want to do the right thing, but not have the power within yourself to be able to carry it out. Verse 19, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. This is the state of the person who is in torment through addiction. You can ask an alcoholic, you can ask a drug addict. Many of them, they want to be free, but do not possess the understanding of how to do it. Your first step is to give your life to Jesus. The Spirit of God coming inside of you unlocks the chain. He gives you a new heart to want to do the right thing. But then the Bible is so clear. You have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Dysfunctional thinking doesn't automatically become functional thinking just because Jesus has changed your heart. You've got to learn how to do that. And the real key to all of this is God is not after your behavior to change. Many people think, if I just stop, I'll be okay. You might behave like an addict, but you've also got the heart of an addict. And God is more concerned about your heart than he is your behavior. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Many people think, if I could just wipe my slate clean and not do this, I'll be okay. But God wants your heart. He wants to change it. He wants to bring you out of darkness and bring you into the light. So how does a person get free? How do I help a person get free? How does a person in this room break free from any addiction? The first step is you have to be honest. Sounds very simple, doesn't it? I tell my kids this all the time. The best thing to do is always tell the truth. It's always best to tell the truth. But you will find with a person who has an addiction, that is one of the hardest things to break free from, is simply being honest. Come out of the darkness and come into the light and simply admit there is a problem that you have no power to get out of. I tell men that have a pornography problem, the first thing you can do, especially if they're married, never tell a lie again to your wife. Because I can tell you what, this is a little bit of marriage counseling. She would better have the truth from you than your behavior. Because when you don't tell the truth, she can't trust anything you do. And all the ladies said, amen. The second thing besides being honest is just have a plan. That's something we want to help you out with Bethel Community Church. You need a plan, and that plan, it comes community. I had an addiction for over 20 years. And I tell you, the moment that I began to break free, I saw one of my best friends on the planet have the same addiction, and it about destroyed himself and his family. And in my heart and in my mind, I said, I do not want that to be me. And it was like the fear of God, a healthy fear of God, scared all the mess out of me. And I said, I don't care what I have to do. I will be free. I don't care who I have to tell. I don't care how much it costs. I'm going to get free. There was a boldness, a tenacity. Said, I'm not going to be like that anymore. Whatever it takes. I don't care who I have to tell. Can somebody say amen? Amen. See, when you start to play around with addiction and think it's like playing around with Winnie the Pooh, nothing will change. It's not like Winnie the Pooh chasing a balloon. That will get you nowhere. Somebody say amen. But there are different levels I want to talk about very briefly of addiction. There's a habit. That's actually doing the wrong thing. It can become a habit over time. You've done it over and over again. Usually there are things called triggers. These triggers will trigger the behavior, and that's something to be aware of. And there's things that you can do to help out with that. Accountability, a plan can help out with that, but it's deeper than just the behavior. It's not just stopping the behavior. There's a chemical reaction that happens when an addict feeds into the addiction. Did you know that there's levels, no matter what it really is, whether it's eating, whether it's crack cocaine, whether it's pornography, there's little pieces of dopamine that get released into your prefrontal cortex. Y'all know what I'm saying? All right. And basically, it's your pleasure-seeking chemicals. There's a whole cocktail of chemicals that get released when you feed into an addiction, and it makes you want it again, over and over. That's why they say when drug use, that you're chasing that high over and over and over and over again, because they're getting something out of it that they're not getting from the place where they should. They should be seeking Christ, but now they've started to seek something else to try to feel the desire for what they feel like they're missing. And it can damage your brain. And I want to show you this quick video. This is the brain of someone with a pornography addiction and how it's so similar to someone with a cocaine addiction. But really, for almost all addictions, that chemical problem that happens in the brain will affect you. Let's see this video.
Through research and especially through SPECT scanning, we show that it's a brain problem because we actually see that there's areas that are overactive or underactive. you get this rush of adrenaline, so he gets that high, that whether it's masturbation or whatever it is that gets him to that point. But then you have this, just say like cocaine, after it's over though, you'll see this decreased blood flow again to the prefrontal cortex. This is a scan of a sex addict brain, an 18-year-old sex addict brain. And we compare that to a normal brain. And at the naked eye, we can tell this is not normal. Now, if we compare that to someone who has cocaine addiction, this is a person who has cocaine addiction. As you can tell, in the prefrontal cortex and the parietal lobe, they're very similar, although you don't see the top part of this brain. The scalloping is about the same if we looked at this sagittally. The prefrontal cortex, for lack of a better word, is our CEO. It really controls every other aspect of the brain. So the whole front part of our brain, this is what makes us human in general. Usually in sexual addiction, there's some low activation here. Our CEO drops off, we don't make good decisions. Normally in naked eye, you can tell that this is not particularly normal or healthy. Person's just not using as much brain because they're used to using the sex and other things to make their brain active. So the excitement of pornography. So we see a lot of the same deactivation from cocaine and sexual addiction. You can tell again from someone who's a normal brain, we obviously don't see that degree of scalloping. It takes over the mind.
See that, because when you ask someone to just stop, it's a lot harder than just stopping. There's a habitual, there's a chemical, but also there's the spiritual level. At the core of an addiction, the addict is seeking something to fulfill the holes in their heart. They might be wanting joy, they might be wanting peace that they can't find. It may have been triggered by loneliness or rejection, but their core of it all is they have begun to idolize and create an idol out of the thing that they are addicted to. And it all begins by putting Christ in his proper place. So I want you to see in 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "Dear children, keep away from anything that may take God's place in your hearts." I love how the writer says that. He says it as almost like a parent to a child. "Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your heart." Here at Bethel, we want to help, not just you if you're addicted, but also as a family member or someone who is a friend of an addict. We're going to have an opportunity after church if you need prayer, but also we want to take it another step further. I want to put my email on the screen. And if you are dealing with something and you don't know how to help yourself, you don't know how to help the one that you loved, I want my email on the screen so you can write us. You can tell me about it. We will sit down. We will walk it out with you. I have walked out addiction after addiction with men and with couples. I will tell you that victory over addiction is possible, but it will not happen by yourself. No one ever said, "I'm going to break free of this addiction on my own." It takes someone else. When I broke free from smoking cigarettes, I was in a Bible study, and I told these grown men, "I think God wants me to be set free from smoking." Laid hands on me. They prayed for me. Now, cigarettes for me, cold turkey. Might happen for some people like that, but the other addiction I had that lasted for 20 plus years, it was a process. I needed a team of men to work around me. I needed all the help I could get. I paid big money to go to programs to help me out. And I have continued to walk in freedom year after year after year because I stay connected to a community, to a body of people, because I didn't allow pride to take over. And I want to tell you today, don't allow pride to keep you in the dark. Don't allow it to keep your friend or your family member in the dark. Today is a day of freedom when we begin to walk in the light and not in the darkness. I just want to pray for you today. You can bow your heads if that's you and you want to walk in the light today. As I pray for you or your family or someone close to you, I want you to raise your hands and believe that today is the day when you begin to walk in freedom. Thank you around this room. Today, don't let pride stop the process of what God wants to do in your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, we say who the Son sets free is free indeed. We thank you for church community. We thank you that in the light there is no shame. You bore all of our shame and our guilt on the cross. We pray today is a day that pride will fall. Pride is a thing of the past. Let today be the first day when we walk in truth. We begin to speak truth to ourselves, to the people close to us, and we begin to speak truth to you today. God, we renounce every addiction in Jesus' name. God, let it be spoken of your people that they walk in truth today. We thank you for that process and where it leads.